having me. I'm excited to be here. I want to pray. Lord, I thank you for all that you are doing here and everywhere throughout the city, Lord. I thank you for who you are and in your heart for us. And Lord, I pray that we get a greater heart for you, Lord, for all that you have on your heart, that we hear clearly, Lord, where you're taking us, where you're positioning us, and that each of us step into the destiny that you have and created us for. Thank you, Lord, for all that you are, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. I'm going to share some things, and I do have notes, which usually I don't have a complete set of notes, but this time when I was seeking the Lord, it's interesting, and there's a lot of questions. This is how he speaks to me sometimes. And so as I was, this actually has been on my heart probably for over a month now, and I was not allowed to release it at the time that he had given to me, and then today he added the tail end of what he had before the ministry. And so as we step into this new year, I guess this was actually when he wanted to release it, but there's questions. And when we look at this, I want you to please position yourself to just focus on yourself. Because only you know who you are, for real. You know, I know me, and, you might think you know me, but, only God knows what's in my heart. So as we go through this, please don't think about someone else and what they need, and where they need to go and what they need to do. So I'm going to share. There'll be quite a bit of scriptures that I have. So I'm going to go through my notes. So if you see me, it's because I don't want to miss anything, because I know this is something that's on his heart. And so the way that he began to speak to me, and I know we have heard it, it's who, what, when, where, and why. And, I started to hear that, and I was like, okay, where are we going with this? So we're going to start off with the who. Okay, so who do you trust? Let's look at that. Who do you trust? Do you trust yourself, or do you trust God? With your family, when things come up, when there's decisions to be made, we come in and we get the answer or the solution to the problem. When it comes to your children or in every situation, do you trust your plan or do you trust the Lord's plan? What we're seeing that he's doing, what are we focused on? What's on his heart for them or what's on ours? A lot of times it's really hard to release to the Lord and let him take reign of where we're going. So we're going to look right now at, who do you trust? Must it be your plan, or do you seek the plan of the Lord? A lot of times he'll start to release a plan, and then we go, oh, yeah, I know what we're going to do. We're going to do it like this. We're going to do it like that. And we come to the conclusion that we know what God has on his mind, and we haven't really sat back and allowed him to release, this is where I'm going, because it doesn't look like what we would do to get, that's the way he works, right? So do you surrender the plan of God, or do you have to have a better plan? Again, who do you trust? We say this, I trust in the Lord. And then if you check yourself, we forget things we said and felt and feel, and we run with our own plan. In Psalms 9:10, it says, "And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you.
You have not forsaken those who seek you. Are we seeking him for the answers? Or are we asking permission to do it our way? You know, I know what we should do here. And then we run with that rather than asking him, are we seeking him or are we asking permission to do it? We say, as in Psalms 18:2, we say, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. But when faced with a situation, do we remember this? That's how we feel? In Psalms 18:30, we need to reflect on this. It says, as for God, he is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. Okay. I'm going to tell y'all a story now at this point. And I got permission from everybody in the story to tell it. I made phone calls to make sure that they weren't going to be suing me later for releasing it. But, you know, and it's funny you say every family has a story. So I'm going to tell mine, if that's okay. I have an older brother who is, he's about 9 years older than I am. And so when I was like 9, he was 18. So he was always like, he was the cool guy. I don't know, a lot of y'all might remember the Fonz kind of thing, you know. He was kind of like that, you know. He was a cool guy in my eyes, right? He was a big brother. So now, you know, my brother just turned 80. And, you know, he's as you grow older, you get to really know people, right? So I kind of found out my brother was a little bit of a scaredy cat, you know, which he, you know, would put on this real tough facade most of his life. But he really was, you know, but then little things. So several years ago, he was married to my sister-in-law. I know it was over 50 years, maybe 52, 53. And they were like, he couldn't do anything. I used to laugh at her because she would be, she'd say he can't sleep. He, you know, he'd get anxiety and stuff. And so he'd sit in the recliner and she'd go to sleep and he'd be like, Mary, Mary. And she's like, what, Manuel? You know, I'm exhausted. And he's like, wake up. I can't sleep. She's like, but I can. Can I please sleep? You know, and he would, but he had to have her there. So when she was very ill, you know, he was like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know how I'm going to live without her. I don't know. You know, it was them two forever since they were young. So anyway, he went through the transition well, you know, had to learn some things. But he's still, you know, real nervous and stuff. So not too many months ago, you know, he's been ill off and on, different things, and, you know, his children take him to the doctor, and he's doing okay. Anyway, he had started to have some falls, and so he became a little more ill and dependent. But what was really, you know, we were all praying for him, and, you know, there's turmoil sometimes in families where they're not really, you know, the kids get mad at each other, and they're not speaking to each other, and you know, you get upset with people, you get offended, and our families go through those things. So, you know, you over here are praying, Lord, you know, I want peace for my brother. I want peace for his kids, his family. You know, yeah, he's getting ready to, you know, go with you. So let's give him some peace for a while, you know, eventually. So, you know, you pray for your family. So interestingly enough, I was... suddenly, you know, God is at work. And this is what I'm saying. Do we really trust him? Because he really is at work. And he really does hear us when we pray and when we ask. But if he doesn't move at the pace that, you know, our microwave, we want it done today, we don't think he's doing anything. Like, man, they've been in this condition for 10 years already. Or, you know, when are they never going to change? You know, and God's you know, God's in it. But we don't see it, so we're not, you know, we're not really capturing the fact that he's working. So he kind of snuck up on me. One of my nephews, his oldest son, had gotten saved, and they were starting to have prayer group meetings at their house. And I love wherever the Lord is, so I like to hang out, right? And I was waiting for an invitation because, like, they live out in the country, further out than I do, and they were saying, you know, oh, we're having Bible studies, and he was having them with his sister. So I was like, oh yes, this is crazy. This, I gotta be there. This is like my nephew and my niece are having Bible studies without me. And so, you know, I said, okay, Lord, you're not knocking on my door, so I'm not gonna go. You know, they just telling me, oh, we're meeting every so often. Well, then one day I don't know what I was doing, and notifications came up on the phone or something, and there was a message there that he was like on Facebook saying, oh, anybody that wants to come, you're welcome to come. I'm like, yes, I'm invited now. I'm coming. Well, it was the very first meeting, and they had said, oh, you know, it's Bible study and whatever. Well, I drove up, and it was like hard to find where my niece is living now, but I drove up, and I looked at, she has this, they had bought 5 acres and a mobile home up there, and they just said, you know, we just want to, you know, give it to the Lord. And they were newly, you know, in the Lord, not like years or whatever, my niece and her husband. And so I drove up, and there's all these cars, and I'm looking at this, and I said, Lord, this is church. This is not a Bible study. It was like packed with cars. And I was like, oh my gosh, where are you bringing me? So he just, man, I sat there that night like amazed. I went in, and then as I'm walking in, my nieces used to live in Pearsall, so they invited people that they knew from Pearsall to this meeting. I didn't know anybody. I only knew my nephew, my niece, and, you know, a couple of other people there. And then they tell me, as I'm walking up, my niece, one of them told me, I think David's coming. And I was like, okay, David is my niece's ex-husband. And he's remarried already. And, you know, of course, she's remarried. And I'm like, okay, I've run into him. You know, I knew them since they were little. And, you know, they were married and had, you know, stuff happen and kids hurt in the divorce and all this stuff. And so there was a lot of, you know, tension. So I'm like, okay, and he's bringing his wife. I'm like, okay, this should be interesting. This is cool. Okay. And so they come in, you know, and everybody's friendly fellowship, you know, talking, eating, sharing. And then so we go through the whole meeting, and, you know, everybody's good. And at the very tail end, of course, where I come from, which is Church of Acts, you know, we had a season way long time ago where we began being trained in the prophetic. So, you know, you got all these little rules like only edify, comfort, and exhort. You know, be careful. Don't say what you're seeing and how, okay, I know you're in an affair or you're over here. Don't, you know, watch how you say it. So I'm like, you know, checking everything out because I've got a bunch of people that, you know, want to release stuff, and I'm like, wait, the rules. You know, there's rules, please. So at the very end of everybody, you know, sharing and praying, my niece is sitting there with her current husband, real nice young man, and, you know, we're there, and she goes, well, I have a word. Now, mind you, I hadn't seen her in I don't know how long. I barely even knew she was, you know, saved or anything. So she says, I have a word for David. And I'm going, okie dokie now. Yeah, we have a word for David. All right, then. So, you know, I'm listening. I'm sitting there just listening. And then, so she's telling him, because he at one time after the divorce had gotten saved and was on fire for the Lord, I'd run into him. And if we were together in a room 5 minutes, he's on the floor, you know, passing out in the presence of the Lord. So I knew he had been, you know, in relationship with the Lord, right? Couldn't walk by. He wasn't falling down. So I was like, okay. But I had, you know, not seen him in a while. And, you know, didn't know. I mean, I had not met his wife. So she's telling him, David, she goes, I just don't see you on fire like I had before in the past for the Lord. And I'm waiting for the edification here, you know. Okay, we're pointing out the what you're not doing. Let's see where it's going, right? So he says, he's sitting there real quiet, and you got these macho Mexican men. This is not like, emotional. They're like tough guys, right? So he's sitting there, and she's saying, I used to see you on fire for the Lord, and now when I see you, I don't see that fire. And he's just sitting there, and I'm like, okay, I'm waiting for an explosion, And he didn't say anything, and then after a while, he says, he kind of starts nodding, and she goes, David, she says, I just don't see it, and you need to be, on fire for the Lord again. You need to, get in your word, and, I don't know what's going on. So his wife reaches over, and she's saying, by that time, he's weeping, and she says, well, he hasn't been that way, she said, in a while. He hasn't been seeking the Lord. He used to get up, when we first, got married, he used to get up and look for the Lord and pray and do all of these things that she said, and he's been away from that. And he's, weeping, and she says, but he can't forgive himself for what he did to you. He tells, my niece. And she goes, David, I told you, I forgave you a long time ago. The issues that they had in there. She said, I told you that. And he's, but he had not forgiven himself for all, because it created a, the kids splitting up, being with him, and just a whole bunch of things that there was hurt all over the place. Well, two of their daughters were there at this meeting as well. So they're already grown and they have their kids. So the grandkids were there and the two daughters were there. And so they're having this, and it's like, I'm watching, and I'm like, whoa, God, restoration here. I'm watching this and I'm like, man, oh man. And so, my nephew tells me, can we pray for you? David gets up and I'm watching, dying here, because I'm ready to dive in, but I'm just like, okay, I know you're not sending me, but I'm ready to dive in here. And so the guys start praying for him, and he goes down. And then, so I'm sitting, and they're right, they happen to be right here where I was, right? So I'm looking down like, okay, God. And Debbie's current husband, Ramon, he's got a real sweetheart, and has always been real sensitive to the Lord since I had met him. So he goes down, and he's praying for David, like the two, the husband and the ex-husband. And so he's got his hands kind of crossed, like when you do CPR, right, kind of thing. He's on top of him. Well, he's a firefighter, and he also has done, the rescue stuff, right? So I'm looking at his hands, and I'm like, and he's praying for him at the same time. And David's, just there with the Lord and feeling the presence of the Lord. And so I told him, I went up and I said, Ramon, look at your hands. I said, you are breathing, you are resuscitating him in the spirit. I said, so he's pumping. I said, pump. And then so he starts. So Ramon keeps going until he just lost all strength and fell on top of him. So both of you, so they were laying there on top of each other. And I'm like, Lord, this is good. This is good. So then, eventually, Ramon has a lot of trouble coming out of the presence of the Lord. He just really, he gets weak, and he just couldn't do it. And after a long time, he got up, and then David reaches over, and his two daughters come down, and they're hugging. And I'm just like, man, God, you set me up. You brought me here, and you're restoring my whole family here. And I was not expecting that, I was like, I thought I was going to, hello, everybody love Jesus kind of thing. And it did not worry, it was there. So they get up, David gets up, and then so him and Ramon are hugging forever, and then the wives come in and everybody's hugging. And so we got all these people here, from Pearsall and all these other people. And so they sit down after the whole restoration thing, and David's weeping, they're hugging and everything. And then my niece says, okay, wait, y'all don't know. Okay, but David is my ex-husband. This is David's wife. And see, I'm listening to her because I didn't know everybody that was there, right? So then she turns around and she goes, and Ramon, this is my husband, Ramon. And then over here is Ramon's daughter. And then this is Ramon's ex-sister-in-law. And I'm going, what? And there was a hilarious young man there. I just love him because he was like real. And he's standing there, and when she goes, and that's his ex-sister-in-law, he goes, like, Ramon, what are you doing? Your ex-sister-in-law's here. And we were like, okay, it was just hilarious, but just the simplicity of the love that the Lord, you know, had restored. So fast forward the next week, right? I'm ready to go over there. And so Debbie's telling me, he didn't show up. David and his wife didn't show up the next meeting, and, you know, we had our meeting. And then I was saying, you know, how much it had impacted me. See, I mean, I was on cloud nine, like going home, like, Lord, wow. You know, I saw years and years and years and years and years of pain and, you know, unforgiveness and offense and everything just, you know, go. So I'm blown away. And then so we're talking the next week, and I tell Debbie, okay. And, you know, so Ramon and David, she goes, they would never speak. That was the first time that David would ever acknowledge her husband. She said, we've run into each other. And Ramon would put his hand out, and he would just be like, no, you know, to the new husband. He would never. So that night, they're over here hugging. I'm like, boy, I really witnessed something here, because he wouldn't have nothing to do with him. And that's who the Lord used to resuscitate him in the spirit and bring him back. So I was like, oh, okay. So this was wild. Okay, so back to my brother, it's their dad. You know, it's my nephew, my niece, and there's another sister, a younger sister. All right, so my brother's ill and they're dealing with that. So we got together with my brother, which we hadn't done in a long time. Just family members came by on a Saturday morning. We brought food, barbecue, you know, sat with him. And it really pumped it up, because he was very down. He was barely walking. They had him on oxygen. They had him, you know, in a wheelchair. So we were talking football and talking all kinds of stuff, and he was great. We went home, and then that night we had that second meeting with Debbie that I went to. And then the next day, you know, I didn't go to church for some reason, and my phone rings. And it's my nephew, Danny, who was there caring for his dad. And he said, He says, I got here this morning. He was going to spend the morning with his dad. And he said, I got here this morning, and dad was sitting there, and he was crying. And I was like, why? He goes, I told him, dad, what's wrong? And he said he was sobbing so hard. So the night before at the meeting we had gone to at Debbie's, at the end of the meeting, Debbie said, I want to pray for my dad. So, you know, Danny said a prayer, and within the prayer, you know, of course, we're praying individually, and I was asking the Lord as well. I said, let him know he's not alone. You know, let him understand that, you know, because he gets anxious. I'm by myself. Something's going to happen. I'm alone. You know, and the kids are all gone. Nobody lives with him. So he was, you know, he gets nervous. So I was asking the Lord, you know, I don't care. You know, let him know there's angels. There's, you know, he's being watched over. He's fine. So the next day when Danny calls me, he says, man, I got here and I told dad, what's the matter? Well, Danny and Deneen live on the same property, but they're not in this house. But they've been spending a lot of time taking care of my brother. So he had a leg that was really bothering him. So they would always massage him with some kind of ointment. So about that time when Danny was talking to me, my brother came into the room. So he started telling me the story. And he said, it was 3 o'clock in the morning. My brother starts telling me, he said, it was 3 o'clock in the morning. He said, and my foot was hurting me. He was in bed. So he starts calling Danny. And he's like, Danny, you know, can you come put that medicine? Danny, can you come put that medicine? And, you know, he says, well, Danny came and he started massaging my foot and, you know, putting all that medicine on. And so he says, it felt better, and I told him, it's okay, that's fine, Danny, it feels good now, you can go. So he says, you know, I laid back down, and then I was going to sleep, he said, and I realized, wait a minute, Danny didn't stay here tonight. He was not in my brother's house. So my brother was like, oh, wait, but they put medicine, they massage, I feel better. You know, so he was like freaked out, right? And he's like, okay, I'm going back to sleep. And this is, I mean, he has a Catholic background. My, you know, we were raised Catholic, and so the supernatural, we kind of tiptoe around, you know, we don't try to push anything, the reality that we've come to know of the Lord, you know, we just kind of, we're sensitive, you know, they believe in God, and they pray, and they, you know, so we've never shoved anything, you know, he knows that, like, now Danny and, you know, Debbie's kind of, you know, was coming in, so anyway, so then my brother's telling me, by this time my brother's telling me, so I went back to sleep. He says, and I don't sleep late anymore, you know, because he's terrified. So he woke up and it was after 7. Well, he knew Danny was going to, he had asked Danny the night before when we were at the meeting. He had texted him and said, you know, I enjoyed spending the day with you the other day. Can you not go to church and spend the day with me? So Danny said, okay. So he knew Danny was going to come over. So at 7 o'clock when he woke up, he was awakened by therapist coming into the room, and the therapist came in, and they were telling him, you know, Mr. Valdez, let's, you know, let's get up, let's do, you know, let's do your exercises. And my brother says, no, he was just barely waking up. He says, I feel fine. Now, mind you, he was shuffling and with the, you know, the oxygen the day before, the wheelchair, barely walking, and he's telling him, I feel good. No, I don't want to get up. And they kept telling him, you know, no, we got to do your therapy. You need to come, you know, you need to get up. And he goes, I feel fine. Look. And he said he jumped out of bed and he started dancing. And he said, I was showing him, look, I feel good. Look, I'm dancing. Look, I'm good. Now, y'all go away. Go. So they left. Well, he laid down and he went back to sleep. And it was 10 o'clock before he woke up. And he's like, well, Danny's supposed to be coming. He hasn't come. And he said, and I felt really good. He said, I felt so good. And he didn't, you know, he said, I didn't want to get up because I was afraid that if I got up, I was going to feel bad again. I was going to not be able to walk. He'd have to use a cane to go to the bathroom or a walker, so he was scared. So he says, I was not moving. He said, I had to go to the bathroom, but I was like, I feel good right here, and I'm not going anywhere. So he said, then he got up. And he went to the bathroom without the cane, without anything. He felt good. He went ahead, came back, and then he realized he does not have therapists. He did not have people coming. He did not have an assigned group of people. They were talking about getting him some, but he wasn't qualifying. So who walked in the room? You know? Yeah. The Lord. Yeah, there was no one. He was by himself, and the Lord sent them in. So, you know, I'm like, oh, yes, Lord. That's why he was weeping when my nephew came in, because he said, I feel good. I don't understand this. I said, you just got visitations all night. You know, this is great. The Lord loves you. You're not alone. He wants to make you understand. You are not alone. He's real. And he's as real as anything. I said, and he will show up because you needed him to show up. He sent the angels. He sent the therapist, whatever. He says, and Danny told him, Dad, did you actually get up and dance? He said, I don't know. I don't know if I got up or I thought I got up. Yeah, he didn't know. But he knew that he felt great. And when he had come into the room, my nephew had turned and said, Dad, your feet, you know, you're moving fast now. Yesterday had been showing. He was walking across the room. He goes, you're taking big old giant steps, Dad. He goes, I feel good. I don't know. I don't understand it. I feel good. So he kept progressively getting better during that season. So when I'm talking to him, I told him, because, you know, like I said, he's big scaredy cat. So I kind of figured he'd been telling the Lord, just take me, right? So I said, listen. I said, you think about it. I said, if you ever said anything to the Lord that you're ready to go, take me, whatever, I said, you need to repent. I said, because you have power in your tongue, because God spoke and created, and you're created in his image, so what you say has power, and if you're talking about it, checking out of here, and he goes, no, oh, no, I got some things I want before I go. He said, I want to see my family restored. And he's weeping at this time, saying, you know, I want my kids to get along. You know, my niece and my two nieces had not spoken for years. you know, lots of hurt, lots of things, you know, that went across. So they were at that point, you know, they'd avoid each other at Christmases and Thanksgiving. He said, man, and here the holidays were coming up. So he was like, I just want everybody to come like we used to when his wife was alive and all the family would come and all the kids and all the grandkids. And now, no, you know, if you're coming, I'm not going and, you know, whatever. What time is she going to be there? Because I'm not going to be there when she gets there. So this is a situation as it was. And I said, listen, because I had already seen what the Lord had done at my niece's house. I said, you don't even know what God's up to. I said, he is restoring your family big time. He's like, I know, but, you know, the way they feel about it. I said, man, you don't even know. I said, I'm telling you, you don't even know. And he goes, I said, so you need time, you want to stick around to see all this stuff. I said, because, you know, if you already been crying about going home, you know, you're giving him permission to take you home. Oh, no, no. So, and I got on the phone with my niece earlier today, too, because she goes, oh, you don't even know the rest, she tells me. I was like, I kind of did, but I didn't, you know, I wasn't sure. So, apparently, because just before Thanksgiving, somebody said they were both going to be there at the same time at the house, right? So it was like, okay, they're showing up together. Okay, are we breaking bread here? So they were kind of everybody on tiptoes. Well, they showed up in the same room, may not have, you know, communicated. So, and during this time, two times the Lord had let me know, and both of the times I was out of town and I wasn't expecting it, but I saw the first weekend when we were out on a trip how serious the Lord was, because the niece that has kind of been, you know, the youngest one has been like more rejected, she called me, and which, you know, I just kind of let everybody mind their own business. I don't go into their business, but she called and we had a conversation, and during the course of the conversation, you know, I told her, I said, you know, you need to talk anytime, just call. And she's weeping that she feels alone, you know, her mom's gone. And so then I'm telling the Lord, man, you know, for her to reach out was big. So I said, you're serious. So the next time I was out of town, I get a text from her. And I'm like, okay, I couldn't get service anywhere. And then that one moment, I got her text. So I called her because I was like, she never texts me. So she's telling me how she's changed her life completely, gotten an apartment, you know, doing some, you know, good stuff for herself, and I want to start going to church. And I'm just looking at the Lord like, okay, you know, she wants to go to church. Wow. And, you know, I didn't ask her, okay, Catholic church, whatever. I just mentioned, and I didn't mention, because by that time, my nephew and my niece are both going to Church of Acts, and I'm like, oh, I ain't sending her to Church of Acts. It's like, we might have World War III or something. I don't know. But I didn't tell her go to church. I just told her of some ministries that I knew that did healing, Rune and his wife, and how they minister to broken women, because she's had a series of bad relationships and stuff. So I, you know, kind of sent her that way, and I left it alone. So then I'm talking to my nephew, and he says, she showed up at Church of Acts. I was like, whoa. Okay. She, you know. Like, God, you're really working. You sent her. And so today when I spoke to my niece and I was telling her, listen, can you give me permission to release your story? She's like, oh, yeah, yeah. She goes, but you don't even know. She said, I went to church, and she did not know her sister was there. And they avoid each other like the plague, right? But they had been in the same room at Thanksgiving for my brother's sake, I think. So then she says, I was at church, and I was talking to somebody. And then someone comes up to her and tells her, oh, it's so good to see your sister here. And she's like, what? She had not seen her the whole service. And she's like, okay. She said, I'm thinking sister in Christ, you know, which sister in Christ is here, you know? And she goes, no, your sister. And she's like, my sister, where is she? She's up there praying for her. She's at the altar. And she's like, okay. So, but God has really she's, when I went to the Bible studies, she was talking things. I'm like, wait, I got to look that up. You know, I mean, she's getting up studying at 5 a.m, spending time with the Lord before work, watching The Chosen left and right, you know, trying to, and her face in the Bible, you know, and I'm going, whoa, you're leaving me behind. Wait, wait, let me catch up. talking about Bible journaling, talking to, oh, have you, do you have this Bible? Do you have that Bible? I'm like, no, but I got to go get it, I guess, you know. So God was really pounding on her, and we talked about forgiveness, and he'd been hounding her about forgiveness. And, you know, she said, man, you know, every time I turn around, somebody's talking, forgive, 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 forgive. So she said that Sunday, you know, she was like, okay, I'm not, God, I ain't ready for this right now, you know. So she went back again. She's been going, the two sisters. Well, she told me, and that this last Sunday, she said her brother had called her up. Danny had called up Debbie and told Debbie, you know, I have a word for you, so, you know, come up here. So they were talking, and then the other sister starts walking towards them. And then Danny goes, oh, okay, you know, because the younger sister's coming towards them. And she said she was coming to say goodbye to her brother. But I guess she didn't know Debbie was standing there. I don't know. And she kind of looked. Well, then she stopped Danny from giving her the word. And she says, I have a word for her. And she says, well, she told me this earlier. She says, when I said that, she kind of rolled her eyes. She said, but I said, Lord, I know this is a test, and I am not failing it. But I'm not going to fail it, you know, because she knew he'd been talking to her about forgiving and forgiving and forgiving. So she says, man, as much as I, you know, wanted to react to her eye roll, she said, no. She said, so when she came up, she told her, I want to invite you to my Bible studies. She told her sister, she said, I want you to come. And I'm inviting you to my home to come, and I'm welcoming you. And she said, now I'm not saying, you know, hey, it's, you know, forgotten. She said, you hurt me. She said, but I want to invite you and have you. And so then her sister started crying, and they both started crying. And then they hugged. And then they said, you know, forgive me. Yeah, the sister says, I'm sorry. And I'm on my way over here like, okay, wait. You're not done yet. We're still moving. You know, so, you know, it's so weighty. But the second time when she had called me, I stopped in the parking lot of where I was, and the sun was coming down, and I just looked at the Lord. And I know that he's invading the earth. Invading like never before. Yeah. He's coming in, and he's going to go as far as we let him. And, you know, I told Debbie, I said, you just opened up your whole destiny. You just opened up allowing the Lord to come in and take you. And she goes, you know, Deneen told me that right afterwards. She says, man, you don't know. I said, no, because it's for the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. What you're doing now is opening up eternity for your family. And, you know, so, I mean, I kind of had to hurry up and get out of there and stuff and get over here, but that's part of why I was running late, because everybody was calling me, and I'm like, wait, I'm not through writing here, you know. So I wanted to share that with y'all, you know, to begin with, because I think sometimes we forget how real he is. And we don't have to do anything unless he tells us to. Unless he didn't need my help at all for what he did. And then my brother is, you know, they went Christmas Eve and knew, you know, they spent time with him, and but God's still working. Like my niece told me today, she said, I have hurt because of some hurtful things that were said. She said, and not about me, because I can kind of, you know, you can blow off about you, but it's when they attack your kids and attack your family, then it's kind of, you know, you really get hurt when people say wrong things, you know, accusations and things towards your loved ones, you know, that are defenseless. So this is the step she says I'm at. She says, now, if she tells my kids she's sorry, I can release, you know. But that's what she's saying, you know, if God shows up, you know, you're going to do it anyway, you know. But I think, you know, going back to what the first part of what he's saying, who do we really trust? We say we know he's real. You know, we know he exists. But can we let him in by just doing what he asks? You know, in the scripture, you know, who is talking? Who is thinking when you think? Is it him thinking or is it you thinking? You know, are you planning? Who's moving in your life? Is it the Lord that's moving or are you moving? And that's why I believe that he's very serious about us letting him in completely, surrendering and trusting that we say he's real, we say he's this powerful, you know, as we read in the scriptures, but can we really walk? One of the things that he asked me when he was giving me this, 6 weeks ago maybe, he says, can you go through one day? Now, think about it. One whole day looking for God in every situation, in everything that happens, instead of how we look for the devil. You know, we can point out, well, you know, the devil made me do it. You know, he made me say it, right? There's things that we say, oh, lying devil. You know, we look at the devil for everything. Get thee behind me, Satan. You know, we have him. Can we recognize that the devil has been defeated? Truly defeated. We keep resurrecting a defeated foe. We do. We keep resurrecting and we say victory is ours. Oh, praise Jesus. You know, he conquered death. You know, he took the keys to the kingdom and he gave them to us. Yet, we keep trying to put the keys back in his hand, in the enemy's hand, that he's got power. And he said it was finished. He's defeated. Something dead is no longer capable of victory. All right? If you're in the animal world, a dead lion, what's that going to do you? What is a tiger or a venomous snake if it's dead? It has no power over you. And we've got to recognize that we are giving the devil we're giving him minutes in our day. And God is saying, can you just don't even one, not 1 minute. Don't give him 1 minute. Give me. Look for me, okay? If I got a flat tire, all right then. What? Well, I told you to buy new tires last week. And you're like, well, God, I'll do it when? Now I bring my plan in. I'll do it when, you know, when I get paid, you know? And he's saying, I told you to buy them last week because I know your tomorrow and I know what's coming. You see? And so can we get to that true trust and true surrender to the reality of who he is? We don't have to ask why, you know, why do I have to forgive? Why do I have to show up? Why? Just give him every situation in every moment. Who are you looking for in your situation? That's why I said reflect on you yourself. When I have a situation, you know, who are you looking for in your situation? The God that saved you, is that who you're looking for? Or are you looking for the devil who tried to do something? Because that's what he did, he just tried. The devil needs your agreement to succeed. We know that. But a lot of times we agree with him and give him access. He needs a place to land. He's the prince of the air. He has no landing place unless we say, you're right. They don't deserve my forgiveness. They don't deserve my love. You know what they did to me? I know, God, that, you know, I have every right to be angry. I have every right to not talk to them. I'm not stepping into that situation again. That is not coming from the voice of Holy Spirit. We've got to look for Holy Spirit's voice and not analyze our situation and get permission to walk our plan. This is about what plan you have. So the agreement with his suggestion is giving you his desire and a place. For instance, when you have a car accident, look at what could have happened. I could have died, right? Look what happened. The devil tried to kill me. You know, the dog ran in front of me and I almost died. But I didn't die, right? What is God up to? Look at what the Lord is doing. You know, we sing it. Oh, look what the Lord has done. Yeah. We know the song. Now he's asking us to become. Become. What are we really looking at? Are we really looking at what the Lord has done? Look for God in every moment because he is there. He's there. Again, I ask the question, can you go through a day looking for God in every situation? How about looking every day at what he is up to and not seeing every devil around every corner? Can we do that? Okay, Jesus never looked for demons. We know that. You know, they knew him. They're going to show up because of the Jesus in you. So, in Matthew 8:28, it says, when he had come to the other side, to the country of Gergesus, and I YouTube that thing 100 times so I could say it right, that town. Anyway, there he met 2 demon-possessed men coming out of the tomb, exceedingly fierce. Now picture that. They weren't just some cute little devils here. They were exceedingly fierce. So that no one could pass that way. That was their goal. It said, and suddenly they cried out, saying, what have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before our time? They recognized who he was. The devil's going to show up because of who you are when you walk in the room. You have to know who you are, and you have to know who you carry. And you have to recognize what is not him and what is. James 2:19 says, you believe that there is one God, you do well. The demons also believe, and they shudder. So our pursuit, what we run after, is the presence of God. That's what we should be going after. We don't need to recognize the presence of the devil. We need to run after the presence of God. What is God up to? That's where the power is, in the presence. Real power is found where his presence is. All of that is under who? Now I'm going to when. When and where, all right? So where is the place of his presence, of his power? Where was the place Jesus was showing us? John 14:12, Yeshua said, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. John 14:12 did not say, the works that I did. We look at what Jesus did. Raise the dead, heal the sick, you know, cleanse the leper. All right, that's part of the package. But when he says you're going to do what Jesus is doing, that's why we need to know, what is he doing right now? This minute, this second. You know, he's restoring families. What is he doing? That means we need to see what he's doing, because that's what we're supposed to do. If his heart is to restore my family, then I don't need to put my two cents in, like, well, you know, maybe you shouldn't, maybe whatever. We need to see what is on the heart of the Father and do what he is doing in that moment. Yes, you know, it's part of raising the dead, and yes, it's part of healing the sick, but is he telling you to do it at that moment? You know, I know that I went through a season of where I had, I've had open heart surgery. I had a pacemaker put in. I became like the patient. At one time, I was caring for my mom, you know, it was a season. And then after my mother passed, I found out I had all these tremendously wonderful things going on in my body. So they, you know, then fixed me. But what happened through all of that is my being in the wheelchair, and I had a friend who was beyond amazing that did everything for me. And I would see her washing my dishes, and I would just, you know, when you can wash your dishes, you don't want to, oh, I don't want to wash the dishes, right? But when you can't wash the dishes, then it's like, Lord, I wish I could just stand there and wash the dishes. You know, I don't have the strength to get up from this chair, and I don't have the strength to do anything. So you realize, you know, I heard Miss LaVon say this before, like when you have a yard and you don't want to cut the yard and you're like, oh, you know, oh, I have to cut the yard. She says, no, you get to cut the yard. There's people that don't have a yard. There's people that don't even have a home. So our whole focus should be, I get to wash the dishes. I get to sweep the floor. I get to do this. Because in an instant, you may be flat on your back, paralyzed. I mean, I had friends that were paralyzed from the neck down suddenly. You know, so we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. Can we appreciate every moment that God is in today? So anyway, so God, if we're looking for his presence and we want to know what he's doing, then yes, we invite the neighbors, or we make them a cake, or we do whatever. You don't have to have a reason why. It's just what you see in his heart and what he wants to do. He wants to reach out. It says the things. That is the present tense. What he's doing is not what he did. So we always look back at, well, you know, Jesus walked through walls, so I guess he walked through walls because that's how intense he was in his relationship with the Lord. If we get as intense, I bet we can walk through a wall. You know? I mean, seriously, lay down your life and get serious. You know, let's turn off our TV and, you know, shut our phone down or something, and we might be able to walk through a wall, maybe, you know. But he did it because he was extreme in his relationship with the Lord. And if we get extreme about our love for him, he can do anything with us, what's on his heart for you. Okay, he steps through the veil of eternity from one dimension to another. And I don't know if you have experienced this, which I think anybody that has given their life to the Lord has had an encounter with the Lord enough that you've walked away from some things, because he has stepped through from eternity into your life in one way or another, where you knew that you knew that you knew that that was God. So he is stepping in from eternity. Eternity is all around us. We live in time and in space. So what he does, he steps in through that veil and speaks to us in dreams and visions. He speaks to us in, you know, different encounters through our senses, you know, our taste, all of that. And that's him coming in from there, from eternity. He can walk in. But you can go in because the veil is torn. So if you want to set yourself alone with the Lord and you are wanting to see where he is, your imagination is not a place like the world tells you that it is, a make-believe. You know, when people say, oh, that's just your imagination, they want you to say it's not true. But I know that if you sit and you say, you know, Lord, I just want to see you. I want to know where you are. You're going to get a picture in your imagination. Sometimes he's walking along the beach. Sometimes he's sitting on a cliff. Sometimes you see him in heaven. You know, but he said that when you are seated in heavenly places with him. Where are you seated? In your image center. Where you get your images. He's not going to tell you that you have access to him and not give you access to him. He's given you access in your image center. You know, there's a story of a lady that I heard years ago, and she has now had a worldwide children's ministry. Little kids that don't even write, can't even do anything. And she has a tremendous testimony. But in the end, she was training these children, and she took them to a bus stop. This is one of her stories, but she took them to a bus stop. And they were just, she taught them to watch the people as they walked by. And if the Lord highlighted someone that they, you know, kind of zoned in on, she said, you know, they had a paper, and they said, you know, write, if you can write, or draw what the Lord is saying. So one little girl drew a bunch of happy faces. She couldn't write, but she drew happy faces on a piece of paper. And she came and told her, she says, that lady, she was crossing the street, she says, the Lord told me to give her that paper. So they had taught the kids, introduce yourself. I know she was watching, but, you know, letting them be bold enough to approach people with a word. So as the lady crossed onto the sidewalk, she went to the lady and she said, you know, God told me to give this to you. He says, you make him smile. And the lady burst out crying. And the little girl is looking at her. So the lady comes, the lady that's training her, and she says, I'm sorry. She says, I'm sorry. She goes, no. She says, you don't understand. I'm a backslidden Christian. She said, and I told the Lord, you probably hate me. I mean, I can't even come back to you from what I've done. And I can't. And the little girl walks up and said, he said, you make him smile. He can use everyone. We need to become sensitive. We need to see his heart. The children, we need to listen to the children, because he moves and he's real and he's alive in all of us. So, and that was not even something I wrote down. I think he just wants us to remember, you know, he can move and he will. And they don't have to be, well, wait until you can write something down. Or, you know, we used to do that kind of training at Church of Acts with the kids, and it was amazing because you had the littlest kids saying, I don't know, I see this rainbow. And then people are like, oh. One young girl, she drew 5 hearts. You know, at that meeting that we said, okay, we're going to train the kids. So we brought them in and we told the kids, just draw and then take it to whoever the Lord tells you to. So this lady started crying because she said, I have 5 grandchildren that I pray for and they're my heart. And that's when she wrote the 5 hearts and she gave them to the girl. So what's important to you is important to the Lord. You know, and we need to not forget that. He does care and it does matter to him, and he does hear our cries and our prayers. You know, I mean, I didn't sit there and pound heaven for my brother, but he heard me for my brother and his children and the family. So it's just encouraging because he's with us. Okay, I'm going to read you a little bit of this. Okay, so we know that our senses, we can pick up all of that. Okay, so let me go to this because, okay, now we're saying, okay, so when? We've got the who, the why, the when. It's right now. That's a simple answer, right now. We don't have to wait for anything. Should have done it yesterday, you know. But when is now. So why? Because when we see what God is up to, we bring it from heaven to earth and release it on the earth. That's what we're supposed to do. The kingdom is in us. We're supposed to release heaven on earth. And that's where the body of Christ will function in the fullness of God. Everybody tells you, oh, walk in the fullness, walk in the fullness, walk in the, okay, what does that mean? The fullness of God. The fullness of God, you're walking from his presence, because that's what Jesus did. He went, you have to get hungry for the presence of the Lord. We've been a powerless body for way too long. No, We need to get hungry for the presence of God. We need to hear from heaven and do what the Father is doing. We'll do miracle signs, wonders, delivering all who are afflicted and setting the captives free. Matthew 22, 36, 40 says, "Teacher, where's the greatest command? What is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Are we there? Are we there? That's the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Again, are we there? These two commandments, on these hang all the law and the prophets. We know all of this stuff, but we gotta now become those who love God with all our heart, with all our mind, with everything, no matter what. And we gotta love our neighbor. Yee, okay. All right. You cannot and you will not set all the captives free if you do not love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. You won't. Without complete surrender of our will, we won't set captives free if we can't love them. You're not going to have a compassion. It doesn't matter their condition. It didn't matter to him what condition we were in. He sent his only son. He did. He loves all creation, and he proved it by sending Jesus to redeem our original design, and that was oneness with him. That's what he wants. Walk with him, again, as in the garden. And even better, he's in us. The kingdom is in us, and it's here. His love is for everyone, is ours. Is ours love for everyone. We've got to get there. So like I said, today's reflecting into yourself. You know, it is. It's just reflecting. No one else. Think deeply and carefully about what is keeping us from walking in the fullness of God. Is it worth it? You know, like my niece. It wasn't worth it to her. She had to forgive her sister. She had to hug her sister, and she had to invite her into her own home, which without her asking yet for forgiveness. So do we appreciate all that we have been given to walk in? And that's, you know, I'm just going to, for time's sake, you go into Ephesians 3. You can begin at 14 and go all the way through 20. Because it's talking about being able to do, he says he can do exceedingly above all that we ask and think. I mean, you haven't even thought about it, and he can do it. You know, and we forget, you know, what 2 Samuel 22:31 says, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust him. God is my strength and power, and he makes my way perfect. So those are the things that the Lord is saying. Today, the last thing that he was giving me in these scriptures was the how. And the most important, there's keys to doing this. And the first and most important key is your passion for him. You know, in the scriptures, you're going to see people who are very passionate. The lady with the issue of blood, you know, the guy that climbed the tree, you know, that he was, I was thinking of other ones, but yes. And I didn't write the story down because I figured I was going to go too long. But anyway, you know, he goes up the tree, right? He beat everybody there. And then Jesus wanted to go to his house because of his passion. So check your passion, real passion for the Lord, you know. And the main key to walking with him is your passion. He's not holding anything back. It's us. He's never held anything back. Yeah, we got to break through with more passion. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Are we seeking with all of our heart? Second key is purity. And I'm going to give you the scriptures. You can look at Mark 5:8 and then Mark 10. It's 46 through 52. Talks about the purity there. And obedience is the third key. Oh, yes. Purity is Mark 5:8 and then Mark 10:46 through 52. I think we can read that one if somebody can get it real quick. Mark 10:56-52. And then on obedience is John 14:21. Your results for that is going to be found in John 14:12-13. So, what the Lord, there was two things that the Lord was saying. And one of them, let me go back over here because I kind of had to toss my stuff around. Was it this morning? Yes. I was waking up, I think it was yesterday morning, and I was waking up, and you know, sometimes, I mean, I know that I have, you know, I wake up, I'm peace, I sleep, whatever, but suddenly I had this real, like, fear, like, you know, just, I don't know, kind of like an anxiety of sorts, and a realm of fear, and I was like, Lord, I don't do this, you know, I don't do this thing. And he said, no, it's the condition of the body. He said, they are scared of the unknown. Scared of the unknown. He said, the spirit is fear not. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, and this is a word for this body. Fear not. For I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And the other scripture that he had for y'all is Jeremiah 29:11. And we know this one. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. So hang on those scriptures for y'all. Because he's in this thing. Whatever it is that he's speaking to y'all, whispering to y'all, whatever he's, what direction he's sending you, who he has you link up with, as long as you just do what he asks, then he needs you to know he's in this with you. And, you know, the peace of the Lord is the biggest thing. I had to wear the peace so y'all could know his heart. I remember releasing that one day real strongly, I think after Pastor Irma passed.